Welcome to Chase Your Dream, a podcast that believes that all dreams can come true if you have the courage to pursue them. Each week, we deliver the stories of a common person being successful by chasing the dream. I am your host, Shoman. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Chase Your Dream. Today, we have among us someone who is a life and relationship coach. Ladies and gentlemen, may I please welcome Energy. Energy, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My audience wants to know more about you.
Of course, no worries. So I am known as the single parents life coach or the single parents life and relationship coach. Basically, I am a certified life and relationship coach and mentor to single dads and single moms. And I focus on helping them understand life, understand their purpose in life, and to ultimately gain their power and control of their life back. I've been a single parent for almost 14 years by the time of this recording. So it's a part of life that I know all too well. I know inside and out, frontwards and backwards, you name it. It's that thing that I can, I can relate to a lot of people, again, both dads and moms, so that's both men and women. I can relate to a lot of people when it comes to single parenting. So some of the areas that I work with people on include helping them to learn how to co-parent better. If the co-parent is actually, if the other parent is actually in the picture, there are some situations where the parent is not, the other parent is not there at all. And so I help people with, literally single parenting. So other things that come up with being a parent and with being a single parent is learning how to manage your time, learning how to balance work and life, or, there are a lot of people who like to call it blending work and life. There are a lot of people who need to learn to control their emotions, manage their emotions, especially once a child is involved and it's when you're dealing with relationships and all matters of the heart. There are a lot of people who allow their emotions to control them instead of them controlling their emotions. I help with those who are now getting into the marriage area, from no longer being single or having been single for so long. And now they're ready to get out there. They're ready to start going into a new relationship or opening up themselves to dating again. Or if they have been dating, I help those who are married as well, because I've been married before. I'm divorced now to my child's father. So I know a lot about that as well. I got married when I was younger. And so it was just, the timing for me was just wrong. However, I learned a lot going through that marriage as well as going through that divorce. It was a very tough divorce. So there's a lot of information, a lot of experience, and a lot of wisdom that I can help people with and that I just simply do help people with. So there's a lot that I can, that I do help people with when it comes to, whether it be men or women again, because ultimately it's just life. And that's the thing that people, they come to me for. They come to me to help them figure out life and the better way to navigate life.
So now a few questions from my side. I would like to understand the difference between a life coach and a therapist.
So a therapist is a therapist. They're licensed. They're licensed and they have stricter regulations when it comes to the industry. As far as a life coach, we don't diagnose people. That's one of the easiest ways that I like to just try to keep it simple when describing the difference between a life coach and a therapist. Life coaches, we don't diagnose people. Therapists, they typically have that ability. They have that authority to, diagnose someone with depression or diagnose someone with anxiety or what have you. As a life coach, we show you, we walk you through your your day-to-day actions, your day-to-day steps of how to uncover whatever it is that you are going through. As a life coach, we're literally guiding you and coaching you through whatever that issue is that you came to us about.
Another question which you have already answered, still, how many years you are into this coaching?
So I've been coaching for almost, at the time of this recording, a few years shy of 2 decades. I've been coaching for a very long time, a little bit over a decade and a half at this point, again, at the time of this recording. So it's been a long time for me.
Pretty long time, yes. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I definitely didn't know anything about being a life coach. That was not on my list. I actually wanted to be an orthodontist. So I was all into the teeth, you know, helping people just improve their smile, because on the inside, it improved their confidence. Everyone's smiles are beautiful, you know, however they come, you know, just naturally. It doesn't mean just straight teeth makes a pretty smile, but the smile, the beauty of a smile comes from the inside, the confidence from the inside. And there just are some people, unfortunately, who aren't able to just embrace their natural beauty, even if their teeth are not straight. And so it was my way, back when I was thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do as a child, it was my way of just helping those people increase their confidence to love themselves more than what they already do. And that was simply because I understand the power of a smile. And, you know, so I was looking to be an orthodontist to straighten people's teeth in order to allow them to see themselves as they are on the inside, which is a beautiful human being.
So what roles or responsibility do you enjoy and feel good at? And along with this, I will also like to ask you, what sucks your day?
What was the last part? What did you say?
What sucks your day? When do you feel stressed?
Okay. The roles and responsibilities that I enjoy, honestly, I really enjoy helping people out. I love analyzing situations. I'm really into like puzzles. I'm into critical thinking. I'm into that deep thinking that requires your full attention. It's something about being able to work through a problem like math. Math was my favorite subject in school, because I love being able to work through the numbers and the letters, the calculations, to figure out what the final answer was. So I'm a very analytical person. I love to just really dig deep and peel back the layers and make something that starts off as being complex, make it simple. So I enjoy those roles and responsibilities of helping people, showing them the simplicity of their issue. Because a lot of times, and I was guilty of this as well, a lot of times people will overthink an issue or over allow themselves to be overwhelmed by an issue. And for me, it's all about taking it back to the basics. And a lot of people, you know, we forget about that. We tend to make things too complicated or overcomplicate things. So I love being able to simplify life. As far as those things that may stress me out or those things throughout the day that just, you know, really irk me, I would say whenever I see or hear of someone laughing at or degrading someone or trying to embarrass someone who are just, you know, who is seeking help. You know, there are a lot of people who are already embarrassed by their situations. You know, it's hard to get people to reach out for help. It's hard to get people to ask questions. And when someone does build up the courage to ask questions or to reach out for help, you have some people who will make fun of them. You have some people who will start to pick at them, almost, not quite, but almost like in a bullying fashion. And that gets under my skin. I do not like a bully. I do not like someone who interrogates someone else or who picks on someone else just because they are trying to get an answer to something that they just really don't know. Even if to us, you know, it may seem obvious as what the answer is or should be, but not everyone knows what we all know. So that's one of the things that I don't like. I don't like people who are mean to other people because we are all going through so much in life, you know, as it is every day. We don't need anyone else to add more to our situations or to add more to our stressful days, you know, as they already are.
So what relationships or people have influenced your sense of destiny and how?
Oh, one of my mentors, oh my goodness, I do attest. I give a lot of credit to a guy named Dr. Miles Monroe. He's no longer living. He passed away in a plane accident a few years ago, approximately 6 years ago now. But he was a brilliant mind. He was a man with a brilliant mind. So Dr. Miles Monroe, he really helped me to learn and understand how to tap into the deeper layers, the deeper layers of myself, the deeper layers of my thinking, the deeper layers of understanding my spirituality. So I would say he would be the first person on my list of people who just really sparked that thing in me to make me become who I am today.
How would a good friend describe what you are like?
A good friend, what they would say, I'm very understanding. I am very caring. I am that person, they would say I'm that person who will help you figure out whatever it is that you may be going through, whatever it is that's going on, and won't judge you for it at all.
So which of your traits seem to stand out to others?
Which of my traits seem to stand out to others?
Yes.
I would say my positive energy, no pun intended. Honestly, I would say the positive energy every single day, no matter where I am. Okay, to be realistic, not every single day, but the majority of the days in the week, I would say someone, whether it be a stranger, a person whom I may have just met once before, whatever the case is, I hear constantly people saying, oh my gosh, you are a breath of fresh air. And it's something about your energy. There's something just so inviting about you. So I would say my positive energy.
What has your life experience told you about your destiny?
My life experiences, everything that I've ever gone through, those experiences that I have firsthand have told me about my destiny, that this is what I'm here for, to coach people, to help people, even if I don't use the label coach, simply just to help people get through those things that I've been through, to get through those things that I've been able to understand and figure out that a lot of people aren't able to do quite yet, or, you know, or may need a little bit of assistance, you know, with figuring things out in order to help others see the beauty in this thing we call life. Because life is so beautiful, it's so precious, but we tend to forget that. So my experiences definitely would point to being able to help people just understand life and themselves.
So now coming back to your work part, you are basically a certified coach for single parent life coach. So single parent life coach is something which is very uncommon in this part of the world. So it highlight more on this.
Yeah. So you know what? It's uncommon. Yes. because most people typically focus on, let's just say, marriages or let's say this. A lot of people in the industry will focus on single moms more than they'll focus on single parents. And so, you know, whenever you are starting a business and you're trying to figure out, you know, people tell you or other, you know, mentors, other business owners who, you know, you may look up to, other business coaches, they'll tell you, hey, you need to narrow down your niche, or some people pronounce it niche. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I said, okay, you know, I kind of went through a process of elimination. I wanted to just kind of, you know, figure out, okay, what is it about me? Because I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And whenever I coach, I wanted to understand whatever it was that I was, you know, trying to coach people on. I wanted to be able to speak from it firsthand. I wanted to be able to, you know, just really know what I'm talking about. I want to be able to tell people, hey, around this corner, get ready to experience this, this, or this, because that's next, because I've been there. And, you know, so I just kind of went through my life. I took some time to just kind of play back my life to figure out, okay, what is it that I know without having to go and read tons of books to try to learn book knowledge? Because to me, a coach that is experienced is better than a coach that just has the book knowledge. And so that's when I figured out, single parenting. And I also had one of my mentors bring that up to my attention. He said, you know what? What about, you know, being a single parent something? And I was like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, keep it simple. I'm all about keeping things simple. And so single parenting was the thing. So then I started researching single parents, and I just wasn't finding much out there. There weren't a lot of resources out there. However, there were so many things with single moms. I was inundated with so much information as I researched, with everything about single moms this, single moms that. And I'm happy to hear and see all of the support for single moms that are out there, you know, especially myself being a single mom. So I'm not saying anything, you know, negative about it. However, we have single fathers that also need help. They also need resources. They also need, you know, places to turn to. They need support systems. And for me, understanding the human mind and understanding just spirit, period, spirituality, period, understanding that, for me, it was very important to tackle both the male species and the female species. So that's why I said, okay, I'm going to do both single dads and single moms, and not just one or the other, because I would be leaving I would leave that other side out there, you know, to just kind of wade in the water by themselves. And I couldn't sleep at night if I did that. So I had to open myself up to both, because to be a successful single parent, to be a successful parent, to be a successful individual, period, whatever you are, man or woman, then you need to know and understand who you are first. And that's what I focus on. Anytime that I'm coaching anyone on anything, I start with them first, the individual. And so that's why I can coach both men and women, even as a female coach. I can do both, because ultimately it is just all about life. And my certification involves that extra little step of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is about the neurology of individual people. So again, that doesn't have a gender. So therefore, that's why I do focus on both men and women, because it's so important.
So empathy on yourself, that is the thing which a single parent should always remember and should follow, try to follow.
You have to be empathetic to yourself, to whomever, yes.
So there are two aspects basically on a single parent side. Some single parents are by choice, some single parents are by accident. So what is your opinion about accidental single parent?
Oh, yeah. You know, there are a lot of different situations of how people can become a single parent. It's by choice, on purpose. You know, there are some people who choose to be a single parent. And you know, unfortunately through a divorce, and then the worst case is as a widow, you know, by losing the other parent.
Right.
So my points or thoughts on by accident, you know, is it really an accident though? You know, I really don't know if I can label it or put it under the category of being, you know, becoming a single parent by accident, because, you know, you're involving yourself with someone, you're doing the acts of what it takes to become a parent, you know, with another individual. And, you know, we all know what can happen. We all know what is very likely to happen, you know, in any case, no matter how careful you may or may not be. So I really don't know if you can say, you know, a single parent via an accident, you know, becoming a single parent by an accident, because the choices that everything that we do is all about the choices that we make, you know. So I don't know if I could answer that as far as an accident.
Right. I take your words. Perfect. So what are you great at? I mean, what are your best talents, rather?
I would say I have a special knack, a special thing of just being able to see a situation for what it really is. Basically meaning being able to get past the noise, being able to look beyond the mess, being able to get beyond those distracting layers of whatever the situation is. I have this innate ability of being able to really just see something or see a person for who they are, or see something for what it is.
So you have been into this coaching line for over 2 decades, rather. So tell us about a case history, whom you coached, and you actually changed their lives.
Oh, that's 99% of my clients, because I really don't take, one thing about me, I don't take, I'm hesitant to say 100%, but I can pretty much say 100%, because I don't accept anyone as an actual client if they are not ready to undergo doing the work, undergo the changes or transitions that they came to me to make. And, you know, there are some people who, you know, may assume that, you know, I may just take them as a client just because they want to sign up and just because they're ready to pay. However, that's not correct, not with me. I only take those people, those individuals who have said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm fed up. I'm ready to make a change in my life. I'm ready to improve this particular area of my life. So let's see. That's a great question. What particular case study where someone actually changed their lives? So I can say keep their information and their name confidential. There was a guy who was married as well as a father. So technically he was not a single parent, technically. However, he was living his life. He and his wife were living their lives as though they were single parents, meaning they were sleeping in separate bedrooms. They, you know, were just kind of going with the flow, not really experiencing life or their marriage for what it really is, not actively. They had totally different parenting styles, and it was just the feeling of being roommates together in a house. And so helping that person and my actual client, which was the husband, the guy, he was more into the relationship, more into the emotions, you know, wanted to actually feel like he was in a marriage. His wife, on the other hand, was more cold, more closed off, and things like that. So for years prior to him coming to me, he felt that it was something about him. You know, he felt that, you know, he was taking it on personally. And I'm not saying that he didn't maybe add to some of the things that were going on. However, once he and I started working together, you know, for the first few weeks, I just basically gave him a different outlook, or showed him how to have a different outlook on his marriage, and gave him some tools and some strategies on how to navigate the day-to-day life of his marriage, the day-to-day relationship aspects of his marriage. And with those tools and strategies that I provided him, you know, he started to just kind of enjoy life a little bit more. Each week started seeing improvements. Each week I can feel the weight lifting off his shoulders. And when it came time for him to actually communicate with his wife in this new way of what I had been coaching him on, of what we had been working together on, this new communication style that he used actually worked, because his wife was willing to listen. His wife was willing to entertain the conversation, as opposed to shutting him off and shutting down and just not entertaining it at all. And so with that, now he's able to talk to her a little bit more, speak with her a little bit more, and show his empathy to her situation, because now he was able to see that there were some things that his wife had gone through prior to their marriage that affected her. And then also he was able to see that there were things, the same things that she's been doing present day were the same things that she did prior to getting married, prior to them getting married. And actually she had never changed, because he thought she changed. And so I had to show him that no, she never changed. She's still that same woman that you met before you asked her to marry you. And so, oh my gosh, it was so deep. I really don't want to take up too much time talking about it. However, to really show him that eye opener of, you know what, this is just who I married. This is the person that I married. He then saw that he just overlooked it. You know, he was caught up in the moment. He was caught up in, you know, them being pregnant. He was caught up in the whole marriage thing. He was caught up in them buying a new house. But yet, you know, he was overlooking the actual person that he married. And so again, that was that thing that I was saying in the prior question you asked me. I have that ability to be able to just see people for who they really are. After you take away those layers, after you take away those things that are distracting, you know, that honeymoon phase, I am able to just look beyond that and look through that and see a person for who they really are, and to help other people do that same thing.
So you bring back the chemistry.
I bring back the chemistry if the chemistry was there.
Yes.
Because there were some situations where the chemistry was just never there. And some people are just with the other person for beneficial reasons. And so if the chemistry was there, then yes, I can help bring it back.
So now a question I think you have already answered. Still, I would like to ask you, what is your biggest failure and what did you learn from it? It may not be on your professional thing. It can be anything.
Okay. I'm glad that you made that clear.
Because you have lastly told that 99.9% is your success rate. So how can I ask this?
So I will go back and say my biggest failure was the marriage and my divorce. And you know what? I'm going to add a little bit more to that. And then also my biggest failure after my divorce was those additional relationships that followed for the next couple of years that were not anything that I should have been in. And to be more specific, because in that marriage, going through that divorce, and then some of those other relationships to follow, I experienced abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse, physical abuse. I experienced it in every degree that you can think of. You know, I know a lot of people have a harder time understanding the financial abuse aspect, so I'll quickly just speak on that part, because the others are pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. However, the financial abuse part basically meant that when I was going through prior to even the divorce being filed, when my ex-husband and I were going through the beginning stages of, you know, I guess about to be separated, he canceled the accounts that were in both of our names, or not canceled the accounts. He took me off the accounts that were in our names. He canceled my debit card that was, you know, that I had, my card. We both had two. He had one, I had one. He canceled my card. He turned my cell phone line off because we were both on the same cell phone plan. And the checks that I had, the checkbook that I had, that particular account, he took me off to where I could not access it anymore. And I was the mother of his child even at that time. And so that's an example of financial abuse that I experienced. But again, I experienced all of those others as well. So I would say my biggest failure would be, you know, having gotten married and then getting a divorce, which, you know, I never wanted to be one of those people who got divorced. You know, I was in it. I agreed to it. I said I do with all my heart. I meant it. I was ready, you know, but it didn't work out. And that would probably be my biggest failure.
Yes. So you have just mentioned, I know it's a hard part of your life. You have just mentioned about one part of the abuse, which is financial abuse. I would like to highlight more on the financial abuse. Say, suppose your debit card and those financial aspects have been cancelled out. So I think at that point of time, law was with you. If you can actually, those abuses of that financial part, abuses can easily can overcome.
Yeah, it definitely can be overcome. You know, I did, you know, I was able to overcome it. And, you know, back then at that time, I think I was about 21, maybe roughly 21, maybe 20 when I was going through that. So, you know, okay. I was very,
I understand.
Yeah.
So one part is this financial abuse, and other part you're also telling about the mental abuse part also. So if you can highlight that part.
Yeah. So the mental abuse aspect part is, you know, someone who just constantly, you know, says certain things to try to just make you feel worse about yourself, to create that insecurity. You know, a lot of people will throw that word around in different relationships as like a power word, you know, oh, you're insecure, whatever, whatever. But it's like, you know what? A lot of those people who throw that word around are the ones who are the person who creates the insecurity. So, you know, just certain phrases, certain words that would trigger a person, especially if that person knows that, you know, if they say certain things, it bothers you and they just do it anyway, then, you know, yeah, that those are common ways of being abusive mentally to a person.
Okay, now coming back to the lighter part. What makes you laugh no matter what?
No matter what. You know what? And this is how I live my life. I actually just did a podcast on this a couple of days ago and posted it. No matter what makes me laugh, I always find a way to find the positive in a situation. I've been through so much in life, you know, just like everyone else. You know, we've all been through our own things. However, for me, I laugh even in those moments in order to keep myself from getting, from going to a dark place, quote unquote, you know, from being stressed out from a situation, from allowing a breakup, you know, to throw me into a bout of depression, you know, whatever it is that a person is going through. But for myself, I purposely make sure I laugh. Like, I'm very intentional. I'm very intentional about whatever it is that I'm going through. I'm very intentional and very aware of the different situations that I'm in, whether on purpose or whether it just be something life dealt me. Being intentional is what allows me to laugh. And I will laugh every single day. I laugh at everything, even if it's a very terrible situation. I'm going to find something humorous about it in order to allow myself to see the other side of the situation.
Like what you hear so far?
Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Someone who is willing to take a coach, going to under you. So how many sessions generally do you recommend?
So it's not a one size fits all thing. For me, I do offer different types of package lengths because everyone is at a different place in their life or, you know, dealing with different issues. Some easier than others, some lighter than others, some more difficult, more complex than others. So the smallest duration of package that I offer, the shortest duration of package that I offer is a 3-month type of session that people can sign up for. And then it goes from there, 6 months and then a 12-month package. And then of course, each of those packages can be renewed if needed. So typically 3 months to 6 months and 12 months are the ones that I formulate my company and my coaching around.
So now I will dodge you from your professional life to your life, and then again I will come back to your professional life. So now dodging you to the lighter part again, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. I love it. I love this question. Understand or understanding. There, even in just my personal life, I love that word. I use it every day and I apply it every single day. And it's one of the foundational words of the foundational words for my coaching, my professional life. But personally, it's all about understanding. That is my favorite word, because without understanding, I would be going crazy in this world, just like a lot of people are, because we fail to understand the importance of understanding our situation that we're going through, or understanding the other person that we may be dealing with. Understanding a complete stranger who may, you know, be showing signs of road rage, you know, just being understanding to the fact that, you know what, that person may be going through something, and I'm gonna, you know, extend more patience today. So yeah, understanding.
So the word coaching or a coach, life coach, is similar to the word called teacher. And there is an English proverb which says that teaching is a very noble profession. So I know that you are into a very noble profession and people respect you a lot. So how do you feel when this respect comes from people who at one point of time doesn't know you, came to you and suddenly showing respect to you after a few months? So how do you feel like?
It's a humbling feeling when someone, you know, shows that sense of respect, or, you know, shows that they're growing and increasing their respect for me because of my position of wanting to teach, wanting to coach, wanting to help. It's a humbling experience because it just, you know, tightens that confidence, or that's not the word I want to use. It confirms that, you know what, I'm being a servant. I'm doing my part on this earth, what I'm assigned to do by God. I'm doing my part to be a servant. And, you know, when people show me that they respect, you know, they respect it, they respect me, they are thankful or whatever, it's that feeling of just being very humble and that, you know, I am successfully achieving my assignment.
So what are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
The best resources. If we're talking tangible resources, I would definitely have to say the word, you know, the Holy Bible. I hope it's okay for me to say that on your podcast, but the Bible itself.
Absolutely. No problem at all. Great. I have just released a podcast today on spirituality, so no problem about that.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay. I want to be respectful to you. So that's great. I would definitely have to say the word, just because, you know, again, with me looking at the breaking it down and looking at the simplicity of the word itself, the Bible, the word, it's what everything here on this earth, every human being, it's what we are. It's how we live. You know how if you buy a new car, you buy a new cell phone, you buy a new game system, it comes with a manual on how to operate it. And the word, the Bible, is the manual on how to operate life. And when I learned to look at it that way, and then I actually started to understand, you know, certain scriptures more or better, I was able to apply it to my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this whole time, you know, I could have been doing it this way, the way that it says, and I wouldn't have gone through everything that I went through, because the Bible itself is indeed the instruction manual on life. You know, all of these self-help books that a lot of people write and that a lot of us read, all of those things, if you really look at what they're saying, those cliche sayings, those phrases that have become so popular, those come from the Bible. They just spin it a different way. They say it in more easier terms or more popular terms or more realistic terms, you know, for us to understand or for us to relate to, more relatable terms. However, all of the knowledge, the information comes from the word itself. So that's my number one resource. Outside of that, I'm also huge into podcasts. You know, I do have my own podcast, but I also listen to a lot of other podcasts and YouTube. You know, I have my own YouTube channel. However, I do watch a lot of other YouTube channels as well for, you know, just keeping me abreast on things.
So I'm doing podcasting today with a podcaster. So I can claim this show as podcasting with a podcaster for podcasting.
I love it. Say that 5 times.
So who are the 3 people who has been most influential in your life?
I don't know if I would have 3, but let me just go through my list. I do have one, of course. It's the same person I mentioned earlier.
Yes, you have told. Yes, you have told that. Yes. So you can now go for 2. Any 2.
Any other 2. Yeah. Okay, so I would say, just off the top of my head, Dr. Miles Monroe being number 1, T.D. Jakes being number 2, just because he's also very relatable as well. And on a financial aspect, but also a spiritual aspect, Dave Ramsey. You know, he's someone that I listen to regularly as well, because he helps understand and apply the financial aspect with the spiritual aspect.
If you could teach one subject in school right now, what it would have been?
How to handle rejection.
Excellent.
Yeah, how to handle rejection, because from being rejected, we all will be rejected at some point, you know, in some degree. It'll all look differently. Yeah, rejection will look different depending on the situation and the person. But, you know, if we don't know how to handle rejection, then it causes so many other issues to build up on the inside of us. And then we start expressing it outwardly in like anger and in being depressed and, you know, having a bad temper or a short temper. So that would be what I would teach, how to handle rejection.
You yourself is a single parent. So what are the difficulties that you face in upbringing your child?
Oh, do we have enough time for that? So difficulties will include time, you know, the feeling of not having enough time to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish because you're doing the job of 2 people. Financially, of course, things being a lot tighter. I'm unfortunately not in the situation where the other parent is involved to any degree. So there's no financial support. There's no emotional support. There's no any kind of support, no time support or anything like that. So everything is actually on my plate. My situation of being a single parent, I didn't say this earlier, but my situation of being a single parent was by abandonment. My ex abandoned my child and myself, so left me with the whole responsibility on my own. And with that, the time, the finances, you know, the difficulty of, you know, if I have work to do, but if my child is sick, I have to figure out how to, you know, handle both of those things, how to get my child from school or how to, you know, take my child to the doctor, even though I have all of these other things or other people that are, you know, waiting on me and counting on me. I don't have that person, the other parent to say, hey, can you do this so I can take care of this? You know, can we kind of teamwork and tag team this thing? So I don't have that luxury. So those would be probably the common or the top two or three issues that I deal with as an active single parent.
Now, when you're so successful in life, you look back and you find your struggles, you have crossed all those hurdles and you have reached to a position where you are standing right now. How do you relish your journey?
Just by really taking it in and being in the moment, living in the moment, and not allowing time to just pass me by, not allowing time to just run its course, to really be in the moment.
So what sense of purpose have you drawn from your culture or community?
Sense of purpose would be to be true to myself first. And what does that mean? Means being true to who I am before all of the other layers are added. So that means being a female, then understanding that I am a Black female, then understanding, you know, then adding all those other layers on there. But if, you know, one of the things that I, to answer your question, I would say just being true to who I am at the core. That's what I mean. At the core, who am I? And being true to me.
So with this question, I have come to another question of yours. You have used two words. You use the word Black, you use the word female. Do racism still exist?
It does, unfortunately. It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you consider this world to be a male-dominated society?
Overall, no. Because... I would say overall, no, I don't consider it to be male dominated. However, it does appear that way, but it only appears that way because of what we are being shown or what's being highlighted. But females, men, women, excuse me, in this world, females and women, we have our, you know, we're running certain things as well. You know, we just kind of run it a different way. You know, it's kind of like being in a relationship or being in a marriage. Yeah, the man is going to be the head. You know, if you're running your relationship in that hierarchy, you know, God first, each of you second, and then your kids third, and everyone else after. You know, yeah, the man is going to be on the front line. He's going to be the one that's seen the most. However, that man, he's able to be successful. He's able to be in that position of power. He's able to be who he is because of that support of that woman that's right there with him. So although as, you know, the female species or as women, we may not be the ones that you see, we run a lot of things. So I don't think that it's either heavily dominated by men or by women. I think we are both playing our parts, you know, in order to create the cycle, you know, the circle of life. But I do agree or understand that the male domination is visually more prominent.
So what advice you would give to someone wanting to pursue career similar to you?
Whoa, yes, great question. I would tell them to go into the sector of the industry of being a coach that you can speak on without having to read a book. Go into it with whatever you're passionate about, with whatever you have experience in, with whatever you, moves you, whether it be in a good way or whether it be in a bad way. As long as it moves you, as long as, you know, there's passion behind it and you've experienced it to some degree, then, you know, follow that to help you pick whatever part of the industry you decide to go into.
Mm-hmm. How do you manage your stress?
Yeah, so I just don't allow myself to get stressed. I allow myself to, for one, I don't let things build up. You know, whenever something comes, I deal with it in the moment. I allow myself to run through whatever the thing is, run through the course of the emotions, basically by controlling my emotions, being in control of my emotions and no longer allowing my emotions to control me. So when a situation arises, and situations arise every, you know, almost every day, but definitely at some point throughout the week, each week, because life is not perfect and definitely not mine. Whenever I do have a situation that can be stressful, I don't allow it to be stressful, because when it comes, I pause. That's a word that I use a lot in my coaching, pause. That would probably be my favorite number two word. I teach people to pause whenever they're dealt with something, or when someone says something to them that was out of line, or when a situation has been dealt to them and they have that moment when they pause to decide how they're going to react. They can, you know, at that point when I pause, I can either react with my emotions and just, you know, just go out of control, or I can say, okay, let's figure this out. This is what's going on. It's not the end of the world. All right, so I'll get through it. Let me figure out the best path to take to get through it. What are my options? And then I go through it step by step, and then I go through a process of elimination. So I analyze it. You can use that term to kind of explain what I'm saying. I try to analyze a situation, but it's really just pausing and taking my time whenever a situation comes, so I can be in control of it instead of allowing it to control me.
Mm-hmm. So, as a life coach, do you counsel yourself also if needed?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Even with that, you know, that question you just asked me about stress, I coach myself on how to make sure I maintain who I know I should be, you know, making sure that there's a term that there's a term that some people use, and it's called, you know, coming correct. Make sure that, you know, you come correct, meaning make sure that you come, you know, properly, appropriately, you know, make sure that you handle a situation correctly, properly, appropriately, respectfully. And so I check myself, like I literally put myself in check and say, hey, you know, what are you about to do? Okay, make sure that you do this the right way. These are your options. You know, everything in life is about choices. So based off whatever choice you make today, and I'm speaking to myself when I say you, based off the choices that you make today, that's going to determine, you know, the following outcome. And so I do coach myself as well with whatever situations I'm dealt with, and just with my day-to-day life, because, you know, I have to be that same person whom I'm also, you know, coaching other people, you know, of how to become themselves as well. So I have to use those same tools, those same strategies, and that's how I know they work, because I use them on myself before I use them on other people, or I try them out myself, or I've gone through them myself and experienced them myself before I've introduced them to other people to possibly use in their own lives. And so I can then absolutely speak from experience and say, hey, when I decided to do this instead of this, this is the difference of, you know, that the outcome of that situation. So I absolutely do coach myself. I have to.
If you could step into my shoes, what do you ask yourself that I haven't asked you yet?
Okay, I'm going to plug a little bit, maybe. I would say, you know, I would probably ask me, who, you know what, because people ask me this question, so yeah. Do you end up coaching men more or women more?
Mm-hmm. That you have already answered, that it's whether it's a male or a female hardly matters, but generally it's women and men are less, that you have already answered.
Mm-mm, no, I didn't say that, because that's not true. I actually coach more men than I do women. That's okay. It's a different question. Yeah. Okay. So okay. Although I coach both, mm-hmm. who do I end up coaching the most? Meaning who ends okay. up being my okay. clientele okay. more?
Okay. So your clientele is more towards men.
Yes, they end up coming to me more than women. However, I do have both.
That's very interesting.
Exactly. Right.
That's a different part altogether. So currently in the current situation, so what is the trend over there? Like single parenting, once it is a trend now. Now the men are more involved to it, or both in both the segments you can see.
Well, you know, okay. It has the trend now is improving and increasing to where men are stepping up more. And in fulfilling their role of being a parent, of being a father, of being a dad, prior to the years before, when it was more so the women who were the main or the only parent in a child's life. So the trend now is increasing and starting to shift to where it's becoming a little bit more balanced, you know, to where the men are starting to get into their place, get into their role that, you know, where they need to be.
You would be surprised to know that over in India nowadays, single parent concept is widely popular and men are into it totally.
Wow. Yeah, I am surprised to hear that.
You are surprised. Yeah. This has now become a trend in India. Anyway, so anything more you want to say? What I have missed out?
You know, the only thing that I would probably... You actually covered quite a bit. You know, we did not go over any of these questions ahead of time. So thank you for all the questions that you did indeed ask. And, you know, we went all around. The only thing that I would probably add is, you know, for those who are looking for a life coach or a relationship coach, you know, for people to understand that, to get rid of that stigma, because there is a stigma on, you know, the term therapy or therapist. And, you know, to understand that coaching, you know, there doesn't need to be a stigma on it either. It's just us as coaches, you know, trying to help you just, you know, keep you focused, keep you guided, and give you other things to think about, other ways to think about without, you know, calling you or labeling you as something else or, you know, whatever. So, you know, be open to a coach, be open to just seeking guidance in life, seeking guidance in relationships, because even with everything else, all other industries, the, you know, whether it be with medical, dental, with you know, auto mechanic, you know, you name it, with even with going to the grocery store, there's training that everyone has to go through. There's training and help that people have to go through in order to become successful in that area. And so when it comes to life, you know, that's all we are. We're that coach to help you get through life. So that's the only other thing that I would add.
So we have come to the end of the show. Any message for my audience?
So we said that single parenting, especially for dads, is becoming more popular. You know, at the end of the day, whenever you're involving kids, period, just make sure that whatever decisions you make, whatever choices that you make, you put the priorities of that child first. Because if if people put the priorities, the safety of a child first, then it will help them make those non-emotional decisions that we so often tend to make that end up, you know, taking us down that harder path. So prioritize the child, prioritize that child's safety, that child's well-being, you know, until they are at least able to take care of themselves, and that will help eliminate a lot of the issues that, you know, we end up going through as single parents, and it will eliminate a lot of the issues that kids end up having to deal with and go through from their parents.
So it was nice talking to you. I will not only say nice, it energizes me also. So so is your name Energy, it is synchronizes with the thing which you are doing, like life coaching, energy in life coaching. So it's a person so much positive in energy, and I really adore you. The hurdles that you have crossed and the position where you are standing right now, yes, it truly remarkable. That's it. So we come to the end of the show. It was nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week. Don't forget to subscribe us on any platform, be it Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, JioSaavn, CastBox, etc. Also tell your friend, family members and enemies about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for another new episode. Myself Shoman Sengupta signing off. Not before saying all dreams can come true, provided you have the courage to pursue them. This episode is sponsored by Nestle. Good food, good life. Lays, can't eat just one. And Uhu, bahut simple hai. I would like to thank my listeners for listening to my podcast. And I'm also recommending the listeners to listen to the podcast of my fellow podcaster, Nafisa Nazneen. The name of our podcast is Basics to Bloom. This podcast will enlighten you to look at things in a different way and will guide you to transform yourself to the better version for Basics to Bloom. Her podcast is available in all major platforms, be it Apple, Spotify, Google, and obviously Anchor.fm. Do remember to check her out. The name of her podcast is Basics to Bloom. Thank you.